Our theme for 2022 will be Finding Wholeness in Christ. If you want to become a complete person, you find that completeness, that wholeness in Christ. I want us to, introduce this theme with this message this morning. And the title of the message is The Healer of Broken Lives. If you want to be whole, you find that healing in the one who is the healer of your brokenness. There are numbers of items in life that break. For example, most of us have broken a dish, phone screen, a tooth, a bone, a promise, our glasses. I presently wear a pair of broken glasses. I keep thinking, I need to get a new pair of glasses. And then I think how much a new pair of glasses costs. So I keep wearing the old glasses. But the broken things that I mention can usually be fixed, amen? But what about fixing something really that's much more significant, much more important? And I'm referring to the heart. Because we live in a fallen world, all of us have broken someone's heart or have had our own heart broken. And usually it's broken over and over and over again. Maybe some of you right now are sitting before me with a broken heart. The broken world we live in is filled not just with broken things, but with depressed, discouraged, oppressed, crushed, broken people. And there's no repair shop to go to repair your broken heart. Years ago, a photographer stood on a street corner in New York City, and he took a picture of the group of people that were going to be soon crossing that street coming toward him. And when you looked at the picture that he took, every single face in that picture was sad. Every single one. And the caption over the picture was, "Why is everyone so broken? Why is everyone so sad?" And so the cry goes out. Is there any hope? Is there any healing? Can I experience wholeness in some way? I don't think any of us like the feeling of being broken. I don't think any of us look forward to, I can get up in the morning and I can carry this broken heart with me throughout this day. We don't want that. And so we ask, can my life be restored? Can I be made whole? Can I be made new? I think of Jeremiah's lamentation in Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 22, where he wrote, "Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there?" And then in verse 20, he writes, "The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved." Now, the harvest and summer represented the two successive phases of the harvest season. The grain harvest was from April to June. The fruit harvest came later. Now, if the former failed, the people could look forward to the latter. However, if both failed, if there was no grain or fruit to store away, famine was inevitable, and therefore they were not saved. Now, in the past several messages, I have described really the unsaved people as lost, as sitting in darkness and in the shadow of death, which brings me to say again how we desperately need a Savior, someone who seeks, someone who saves, someone who can heal the brokenhearted. We need God's balm of Gilead. We need His healing ointment of salvation, for we are broken. And we need it not just at salvation, but we need it even following salvation. We need God's healing, God's wholeness all the time. I can say I'm a broken person. And I think what illustrates that to me on a personal level is that what do I think when I'm not thinking about anything specific? In other words, maybe I'm doing my janitorial work over in the gym. When I'm just kind of daydreaming, so to speak, I think, I just thought that thought about this individual or that individual or this situation or that situation just popped in my mind. And I think, oh my. And I guess I really say, oh wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from this body of death? Even following salvation, we still live in this body of death. And it's a body that continually is broken. It's continually breaking. I'm not going to speak for you, but I surely need this message this morning, which describes our glorious Savior who binds up our broken hearts, who heals our broken souls. The message has 3 points. They are, number one, the names of the healer. Number two, the work of this healer. And number three, we'll conclude with our needful responses to the healer of our hearts. I want to look first at the names of this healer. And I want us to consider the following names which come from the Christmas story. These are the names the gospel writers gave to this healer. Jesus, Son of the Highest, Holy Child, Son of God, Savior, Christ, Lord, Emmanuel. First, the name Jesus. If you have your Bibles, turn please to Matthew chapter 1. Verse 21 tells us, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Verse 25, "And knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." And then over in Luke chapter 1, verse 31, we read these words, and this is the angel speaking to Mary, "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus." Now, Jesus is the Greek form of the common Hebrew names Joshua or Jeshua or Jehoshua, which mean Jehovah, Yahweh, will save. The name Jesus means God will save. The second name is the Son of the Highest. It is the Greek equivalent of the frequently used Old Testament title for God, El Elyon. And it is a description that refers to Jesus' position as the supreme sovereign ruler. And so to identify Jesus as the Son of the Highest is to declare that he is of the same essence as God, meaning he is the radiance of God's glory. He is the exact representation of God's nature. Son of the Highest. Jesus is called in Luke chapter 1, verse 35, the Holy Child, which tells us Jesus was fully human yet completely sinless from conception. Then in the same verse, Jesus is called the Son of God because his nature is of God the Father, which speaks of his deity. So Jesus is by nature the Son of God manifested in human flesh. Then in Luke chapter 2, verse 11, we read, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." The name Savior tells us that Jesus was born to save. And we'll say more about his salvation or this salvation later. Then the name Christ is the Old Testament counterpart for Messiah, which means anointed one, one placed in a high office and therefore worthy of exaltation and honor. The name Lord in a human sense is given to someone in a position of leadership and authority. And so to call someone Lord is to acknowledge one's subservience. But here to call Jesus Lord is to acknowledge that he is Yahweh, that he is God, which affirms Jesus' full deity and equality with God the Father. And then the last name that we'll look at today is Emmanuel. Matthew 1:23, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a child, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." which tells us that through Christ's incarnation, Jesus was in the most literal sense God with us, which means Jesus is the Shekinah. He's the true tabernacle of God. For the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That word dwelt in the Greek means tabernacled among us. And so I ask, why all these names? Why is our Lord given these names? Especially at the birth of our Lord. And I respond to show us that he is God. And because he is God, he can and he does heal. Friends, these names, these are not just accidental names. These names truly show us his ability to heal. Jesus, Son of the Highest, Holy Child, Son of God, Savior, Christ, Lord, Emmanuel. They all shout, Jesus is God. And because Jesus is God, he can heal. He can heal your broken heart. No one else has these names. Amen? Because no one else but Jesus is God. No one else but God in the person of Christ can heal our broken souls. Well, we come now to the work of this healer. We've looked at the names of this healer. The work of this healer, which prompts me to ask, what can this healer heal us from? If you need healing, there's something that's causing you to need to be healed. Amen? I mean, there's a problem there. What is the problem? Well, the angel speaking to Joseph answers our question in Matthew 1:21, which says, "And he shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus." Why the name Jesus? For he shall what? Save his people from their sins. He shall save his people from their sins. Friends, sin in all of its forms is what brings all the brokenness to our lives. Sin breaks our lives. Our lives are fractured. Our lives are messed up. Our lives are peaceless. Our lives become corrupt and chaotic. They become broken because of sin. Sin is not a good thing. Honestly, everything that is broken in this world is the result of sin. Sin is not something you want to play around with because sin will break your heart. There's nothing good, there's nothing wholesome, there's nothing pleasing or sound or positive about sin. In fact, sin leads to more sin, which further destroys lives, relationships, and ultimately leads not only to physical but spiritual death. Sin is an awful thing. And yet how often we make so light of it. In fact, we run after it. In fact, we participate almost gleefully in sin. Romans 6:23 tells us the wages of sin is death. The soul that sins, it shall die. When lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. When we sow to the flesh, we reap corruption. And what does corruption lead to? Death. I think of how Paul describes sin, and I won't name all the sins of the flesh he names here, but you know, he says, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these, for example, adultery, fornication, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred." If you have hatred in your heart, that's sin. If you have unforgiveness in your heart, that's sin. That willingness to not forgive breaks your heart. Envies, murders, drunkenness, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I've told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Paul just, I mean, he doesn't pussyfoot around, amen? And so again, what a broken picture of mankind, a man's soul by sin oppressed is reduced to ashes. But I love what Jesus declares in Luke chapter 4. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted." That's what it says. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of our Lord. And in these verses, Jesus describes what his healing salvation involves. Friends, Jesus came to rescue us. Jesus came to redeem us, to reconcile us to God, to heal our brokenness. And no one else can perform this work of healing because no one else is God who can save people from their sins. I say this is the amazing work of Christ alone. Why do we make much of Jesus here at Westside? Because he is God, and only he is our healer. Only he, therefore, is our hope. You want to make much of Jesus in your life if you're going to have a whole heart. Well, we come now to our last point, and I guess we've already begun to touch on it. But what are our needful responses to this healer? And we find them in the Christmas story, in Matthew chapters 1 and 2 and Luke chapters 1 and 2. I want to start with Joseph. What was Joseph's response to this heart healer? And I reply, faith and obedience. After finding out that Mary was with child, with a broken heart, he said, "I will quietly divorce her." But Matthew chapter 1, verse 20 tells us, "But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." And then verse 24, "And then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." And I say, what a spiritual man. What a spiritual man. The fact that Joseph was not the earthly father, the real father of Christ, but he was the father in the house, was of God. God wanted to make sure that the husband of Mary was a godly man. We see also his faith-filled obedience in Matthew chapter 2. In verses 13 and 14, "And when they had departed the wise men, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt." And then the end of the chapter tells us how the angel of God directed him back from Egypt to the homeland, to Israel. And not to go back to Bethlehem, but to go to Nazareth. And he came and dwelt in the city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, "He shall be called a Nazarene." Again, faith and obedience to God's clear directives marked Joseph's life. He believed God's messengers, and that he followed their instructions. And God used his submissive response to bring fulfillment of a number of Old Testament prophecies. Let's look at the shepherds' response. How did they respond to this heart healer? Well, they also believed. They believed the angel's message of the birth of a Savior who is Christ the Lord, and subsequently their faith led them to seek the baby lion in a manger, and then to make known his birth, and finally to glorify and praise God for what they had just witnessed. Let's see the response of the wise men. What was their reaction to this heart healer? Well, they also believed. They believed the Old Testament prophecies, And so when they saw a divine manifestation used by God to indicate the place of the Messiah's birth, they followed his star. And then when they found the Christ child, they worshiped him, which indicated their recognition of deity, that he is Emmanuel, he is God with us. And their homage was then followed by giving Jesus gold for being their king, frankincense for being their God, and myrrh for being their Savior. And then finally, I want us to look at Mary's response. And obviously, her answer was marked by humble, obedient, rejoicing, and meditative faith. At Luke chapter 1, verse 46, we read, "And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed, for he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name." In this section, commonly called the Magnificat, in many ways resembled Hannah's prayer of thanksgiving and praise to God recorded in 1 Samuel chapter 2. And then we read in Luke chapter 2, verse 19, "But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart." And so what are we to take from these responses, this message on Christ the heart healer? Well, let's remember that only Jesus is the healer of our brokenness. If you walk through the day without Jesus, even as a Christian, you're going to have a broken heart. You have to make much of Jesus. There's no one else who can heal the brokenness of your heart, because no one else is called the Son of the Highest. No one else is called Savior. No one else is called Jesus. No one else is called the Son of God. No one else is called Emmanuel. And these names tell us, as God, he has the authority to heal. He created us, and he can and he will heal us. And then let's remember the healing work of Jesus, the healer. And how does he heal us? He saves us from our sin, the sin that breaks our hearts over and over and over again. He forgives us our sins. He gives us victory over our sins. We can reckon ourselves dead to sin, but alive unto him, alive unto God. And finally, when we believe in him, he performs the redemptive miracle of forgiving our sins and healing our hearts. And this grace and mercy draws from us the same responses of the Nativity cast: faith, we believe, meditation, obedience, worship, rejoicing, giving, and telling the good news of Jesus. Can I tell you how you know you're experiencing God's healing? Jesus' healing is when you feel his peace and his joy in your heart. If you're walking around with a peaceless and joyless heart, and Christians do, you're not being healed. You're not experiencing Jesus. You're not walking with him. You're not letting him be your Savior and Lord, your hope. When I draw nigh to Jesus, I feel whole. Let me close with several verses that speak of the healing and wholeness that our broken hearts experience as we trust him. Jeremiah 17:14, "Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for thou art my praise." Isaiah 53:5, "And he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." Psalm 107:20, "He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction." Psalm 34:18, "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit." Psalm 73:26, "My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." Psalm 147:3, "He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. Isaiah 26:3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And one more, Philippians 2:13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And what is his good pleasure? To give you a healed heart. Because he is our healer, his word comes alive and brings healing to our broken hearts. Do you know Jesus? Do you know him as your Savior? If you don't, you have a broken heart. You have a broken heart. And nothing in this world, nothing that you can put under the Christmas tree and then thereafter open up, can heal or will heal that broken heart. And then even after we're saved, how often we try to fill that void, that heart, with everything that this world can afford. Friends, if you could afford to buy the world, it wouldn't be enough to heal your broken heart. Only Jesus could give healing, wholeness, fulfillment, satisfaction, peace, and joy to your heart. And you know, sometimes we don't figure that out until the end of our lives. Don't wait till you're about ready to kick the bucket to figure out what life is all about. Young people, don't think the world is where it's at. The brokenness of your heart can only find its healing in a person called Jesus. Let him come in. Believe in him. At Christmas, you see the word believe. I'm telling you, believe in him, and you will have a healed heart. I don't care what you didn't or did get for Christmas, you'll have a healed heart. When you have a healed heart, you have everything.